Our scripture reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And this morning, I'd like to introduce to everybody Michael Lum. Michael, you come from Calgary, is that right?
That's right.
And he's going to deliver the message.
Mm-hmm, thank you. Well, I'm going to move this up a little bit. I'm a little taller than average, so it's always interesting coming to churches I've never been before because just to see the setup, and usually it's set up for quite shorter people, but that's okay. Thank you for having us. You might have seen my kids, Jeremiah and Abby, sort of getting into the trouble or climbing up the stage, so those are my kids, and my wife Rebecca is in the nursery. She's looking at me through the windows right now. But thank you for having us. It's been a good day. It's a nice drive from Calgary, not too far. So has many of you been to Calgary? Yeah, pretty much everybody. I guess it's the closest big city. So how about we just pray before I start here. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you so much for just being able to spend time in your word and to see what you have in store for us this week and this morning. Lord, I thank you for the worship, the singing that we've had this morning. Lord, I pray that it brings glory to you and that through the words that I speak today, Lord, I pray that they are from you and from you alone. And I thank you so much for your word. I pray all this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Well, as was mentioned before, I'll be preaching through Exodus 3, and not just the first six verses. I didn't want to just say, please read all the whole chapter. That's a little heavy for someone doing the scripture reading. But I will be going through Exodus 3, so if you want to open your Bibles, or I don't know if there's a Bible in front of you, or if you can share with somebody. But Exodus 3 is the chapter we'll be going through, and I invite you to open up to that as we go through that. And as I start this message, I want to ask all of you a question. Now, you might have seen this question. It's the title of my sermon. And is God calling you? Do you believe God is calling you? And some of you may have already thought this during your life, may have been thinking about this today. But I want you to ponder this question for the next little while. And we're going to learn from this man named Moses on how he sort of went through this question in his own mind. So for us who grew up in the church or have been Christians for a while, this chapter in Exodus is very familiar. It's the story of the burning bush, a very strange sight, as it says in Exodus 3, very curious thing. This bush is on fire, yet it's not being consumed, and I don't think many of us have seen that in our own lives. So let's open up to Exodus 3, and just to note, I will be reading through the English Standard Version, so that's the ESV. It's just something that I prefer and I've been preaching through for the last little while. So Exodus 3 says this, and we're just going to be going slowly, so I'll be stopping at points just to let you know. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And we're going to stop there for a couple moments. And thank you for reading those first six verses this morning, as it sort of shapes up the entire chapter. And I want to highlight a couple things in these first six verses. I love, again, this strange sight, this bush that's not being consumed, yet it's burning. And again, I don't think any of us have seen that, yet Moses is seeing this. And I love his reaction to this. He says, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And I love this reaction because a lot of us can relate to this. It's a very human reaction, a logical reaction. This strange sight, and we need to see this. And what is exactly happening here? For it's not exactly every day, even for Moses, that he would see this really kind of weird sight. And I love Moses' reactions because we can really relate to them. And I love going through Exodus itself. And I encourage you to open up even further this week, going through Exodus, even throughout all of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and seeing this journey that God calls Moses on. But what intrigues me the most about these first six verses is the response that Moses gives to God. See, God says, Moses, Moses. And for myself, I stopped there when I was reading, and I thought, wow, okay, first this is a really weird sight, but then all of a sudden the bush says his name, Moses, Moses. And I think for a lot of us, we might be scared if that happened. Imagine the bush saying your name twice. And for a lot of us, we would maybe run away, we would be quite frightened, we would sort of freeze. But instead, Moses says three words, and he says, here I am. And I want us to look at these three words very closely as we go through the rest of the chapter. And I also want to challenge you and encourage you that these three words, here I am, also have a lot of impact for us today, even in the 21st century. And at the beginning of this message, I asked all of you if you believe God is calling you. And some of you may right away say yes, some of you may say no, some of you maybe. And some of you maybe just be thinking about that nap you're going to have this afternoon, which is okay. I know Sunday afternoon is a traditional time for a nap. But I want us to take these words, here I am, as a response this week. Before you get ready for the day, I want all of us to say, here I am to God. For it displays humility. It just displays this transparent relationship you have with God. Before you start anything, you give your day to God. Here I am. Hands open wide, rather. And now for Moses, he could have easily run away from this, hearing his name, Moses, Moses. He could have just run away and gone back to tending the flock that his father-in-law had. But instead, he says, here I am. And this sets up the rest of the chapter, as some of us may know. And so for the next little while, I want to take you on this journey that I've been going through as I've journeyed through Exodus. I love this book of Exodus because it's a very common book for Sunday school and such, but as an adult, it's also very fruitful to go through because there's so many images and such that we can apply to our lives today. So in this third chapter, Moses is being called into a life that will be full of many hard things, as many of us know. And it won't be easy, and in fact, this response from Moses and this whole chapter will shape up everything, the rest of the Bible, even in the New Testament in some points. And as for the question I asked you at the beginning, is God calling you? I want to encourage and challenge you that it is very possible that God is calling you right now. I believe he does call all of us, but he calls us to specific things. And I want you to pray this week, maybe even right now, God, are you calling me? Here I am. Just let me know. Maybe he's been calling you for years before this. Maybe he's calling you next week. But just to have that relationship of saying, here I am, is needed. Now, I know we're not all called to an incredible task like Moses, to take the Israelites out of slavery on the way to the promised land. And that would be crazy if we all were. But I do believe that God is calling each and every one of you to something. So I want you to ponder that as we go further in this text, and we're going to start from verse 7, where we ended off here. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now verse 10 here is the call that God is giving Moses. And verse 11, But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And I want to stop there and focus on verses 11 to 12. And I love this start of the dialogue between God and Moses, because it's just very interesting. And as God places this incredible call on Moses, Moses' reply again is very logical, it's very human. He simply says, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses has just been called, like I said before, to a very hard task. And he needs to ask God some of his own questions. Now, have any of you ever been asked to do something? Maybe you were a young child or even an adult, and you just, before you did it, you just paused and said, Why me? I mean, I remember growing up as a child, and I have an older sister who's 6 years older than me, and I remember sometimes my parents would say, Michael, can you go take out the trash, please? And my first reaction as a child would be, Well, why not Jessica? Why me? Why are you asking me? And I believe this is sort of the thought process that Moses is going through, not necessarily a sibling thing, but just this task. Moses knows about the Israelites, as if some of you know in the beginning of Exodus. And he just needs to ask God some of his own questions. Why me? Who am I that I should do this task? And God's response is even more fantastic. He says that I will be with you. Now, for many of us, this may seem like a weird answer. When I ask you, who are you, or I say, who am I, you might say, well, you're Michael. Like this situation, God could have said, you are Moses, and I have chosen you, so go on and do this call. But instead, God says, I will be with you. And God could have picked anybody, or he could have just done this on his own. As a lot of us know, he could have just taken the Israelites out of slavery, but instead he chose Moses to do it. And I believe Moses knows all of this too, which makes this who am I question very reasonable. And I believe this who am I question is also a question that many of us ask during our lives, especially during the adolescent years, the teenage years. Thinking about your identity, who am I, what has God made me to do, is a very common question. And many of us know that we're called, but however, our human side will say this, who am I, or why me, why God have you picked me to do this task? And you can imagine what Moses is thinking right now, why me? And God in his wisdom simply says to all of us, I will be with you. Which tells Moses, and it tells us that we are indeed children of God. And our identity is in Christ, as we know. And God will be with Moses, as we see throughout Exodus. And God, I believe God will be with you if you step forward in obedience and faith in this whatever call he has for you. And that is the answer to Moses' identity question. And this answer from God also reveals the humility from Moses. By asking, who am I, Moses is saying, I cannot do this. And God responds with, you're not, I am. This must give Moses some reassurance and should also encourage us. The God of all is with Moses, and he's with you in your faithfulness to whatever calling God is placing on you. And he's personally accompanying you on this journey, whatever journey it may be. whether it's being a church leader, whether it's working as a farmer, whatever calling God has on your life, he will be with you if you act out in faith. And I love that God is faithful even when we're not. Amen. I did some searching just for fun on Google, and I typed in the question, who am I? And 6 billion results came up. 6 billion. I know the internet is huge and there's millions or billions of websites, but to see 6 billion results of people searching, who am I, must tell us something. It told me something. People are searching for their identity. And both Christians, both non-Christians, they're asking for that identity question. Who am I? What is my purpose in this world? And I think that should be a challenge to us, because we have the answer, because we are children of God, and we need to show God's love to everybody. Now, the dilemma of an unclear sense of personal identity was illustrated by an incident in the life of the famous German philosopher Schleiermacher, who did much to shape the progress of modern thought. The story is told that one day, as an old man, he was sitting alone on a bench in a city park. And a policeman, thinking that he was a vagrant, came over and shook him and asked, "Who are you?" Schleiermacher replied sadly, "I wish I knew." My hope for all of us today is that we're reminded of our own identity, that we are children of God. And this is an incredible blessing. Amen? We know the question of who are you or who am I, because God reminds us in the story of the burning bush that he is with us, and that's our identity. And it's such an incredible blessing to know that. And I hope that reaches out to you as well. He is with us through it all. And as we go forward in Exodus 3, I want to go from verses 13 to 15, as I accidentally closed my Bible here, so I have to open up. So Exodus 3, 13 to 15. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" Now, Moses wasn't done asking questions, was he? And this first question that he asked, this "who am I," is really about Moses' identity. But now he asks God, "What is your name?" And Moses needs to ask all of these questions, because I do believe that in asking all of these questions, he feels better prepared to do this task. And I think it should also make sense for us, because when we say, "Who am I," to God, we also have to have the freedom to ask more questions. And I believe that's totally okay with God, to ask more questions. And if we remember back in the beginning of Exodus, all the Israelites remember of Moses is that he grew up as an Egyptian, he killed a man, and then he ran away as a wanted criminal. And if you can think about that, that's what Moses is thinking about. So he really needs to ask all of these questions, because he's going back to a land where he doesn't quite have the greatest reputation. And so he needs to ask all these questions to God. And through answering with "I am has sent you," God is promising that he is also for you if you follow his calling. And I love this answer that God gives. And God himself is sending Moses, just like he sends all of us on specific calls. And he's for us, and he was for Moses. And we see this throughout the Bible as God sends people. And now we have two choices, just like Moses did. We can run away and in fear of what might happen, or we can step forward in faith and obedience, saying, "Here I am." And I pray that that will be your stance this week and forevermore, to just say, "Here I am," to that. And if we step forward in faith, we can have full confidence that "I am" has sent us. Yahweh himself, God himself, has sent us and is for us if we follow this calling. And the God of all creation, the God who created and continues to create even today, is with you if you follow that call, and he's for you. And this should be encouraging to us, yet also challenging to take that step forward in obedience. And as we reach sort of the last little bit of the chapter, let's start reading from verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what you have done in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now, please let us go a 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty. But each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. This is a big chunk of scripture that we can take a lot from, but I just want to highlight one specific thing. And I love in verse 19, at least in my translation, it talks about the mighty hand of God. And I love this image of the mighty hand of God, because it really talks about God's power, doesn't it? And like Moses, if we follow the call, the mightiest power of God will flow through us. And I believe that. It's proven throughout the entire Bible. In the New Testament, we see the early church in Acts, this power flowing through them from God, the Holy Spirit. And we see this as well in Exodus, where Moses eventually leads the people out of slavery, and the plagues, the miracles, all this power, but power from God. And I think we have to be careful about this promise from God, saying that his power will flow through us, because power is a very tricky subject. I believe that. And I believe it's one of the big temptations of life. I believe in some stages, and actually probably in a lot of stages of life, a lot of us crave power. And I believe that, even for myself, craving power sometimes, because power gives us control, doesn't it? Even for a father with young kids, I'd love to have control. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. Knowing what's going to happen the next day or the next second even, and knowing how they're going to grow up, to have control, to have power, is something that a lot of us crave. And I'm not different than that at times. But the power that we want is unlike the power that God promises. And it actually gives us more freedom than the power that we selfishly desire. It's this power from God. It's not this power that we crave, but it's a lot different than that. Charles Spurgeon once said that without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire. We are useless. When we receive this promise from God, we must be humble enough that the power doesn't come from us, but from God. And if you want to open with me to the book of Ephesians, I love what Paul said to the church in Ephesus. As he writes in Ephesians 1, 18 to 19, he says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. If we believe and are faithful to his calling, his power will flow through us and do marvelous things to bring glory to God. Not to bring glory to us, but to bring glory to God. And the power that God shows is incredibly visible in the next few chapters of Exodus, as well as throughout the Bible. And it's usually these stories of great images, of great miracles. But it's also more than that as well. And as I mentioned before, the early church in Acts, we see this when the Holy Spirit descends onto the apostles. And I love the imagery, as it says in Acts 2, the first couple verses. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Isn't that incredible? A violent wind coming in, and they were changed forever. I know a lot of us have experienced violent winds, but to be there in Acts 2 would have been amazing. And that's the power of God. And it flows through us if we follow his calling in faith. And if God promises that the same power can go through us if we follow the call of ministry, he's proclaiming that his will is stronger than ours. We did the Lord's Prayer a few moments ago, and saying, "Thy will be done," is a huge proclamation, saying we're not in control, you are. And that's huge. It's really like saying, "Here I am, you're in control." And again, Moses needed to ask all of these questions so that he could prove to Pharaoh and to the Israelites, and also to himself. And the call that God places on all of us, including the call that was placed on Moses, is not easy, as we can see throughout the whole Bible. And even in our own lives, if we followed a call, it's not going to be easy. And I don't think God calls us to incredibly easy things. But Moses proved that the call, if you do the call that God places on you, all of these things, God's promises will flow through you. He'll be with you, before you, and his power will flow through you. And God is a God of promises. Amen? There's a lot of promises, and we have hope in promises. And the Apostle Peter, one more example, is a man who was called to build the church, and through faithfulness saw amazing things happen through God. If you remember Peter, when we first meet him in Matthew, it's an amazing image, because in Matthew 4, Peter was this fisherman, and Jesus said one thing to him, "Come, follow me." And this is not unlike God saying to Moses, "Moses, Moses," and saying, "This is the call that I have for you." Jesus said to Peter, "And I will send you out to fish for people," or fishers of men, that I love some translations say. And it says that at once they left their nets and followed him. And I love the reaction of Peter, because Peter just stopping and getting up and following Jesus is like Moses saying, "Here I am, I'm going to follow you, I'll do your will." And if Peter and if Moses exemplify this, I believe that we really need to take note in our own lives. Moses knew that with the power of God flowing through him, the Israelites could finally be free. This is the power of God in Acts 2 with the Holy Spirit, with the miracles in Exodus, and throughout the entire Bible and throughout our lives. God is working, and his power is working everywhere. In Cremona, in Calgary, God is working everywhere. And I pray that our eyes will be open. Open the eyes of my heart, as we sang earlier. I thought that was very fitting for this message. And following this call that God has on all of our lives isn't easy, as some of us know. And we're called to take a step forward in faith, because it is only in faith in Jesus that is the only way that we can live the call. And sharing the gospel message, sharing the good news, is not easy sometimes. And it makes people change their lives. It interrupts their lives. But God is a God that interrupts us, doesn't he? And he interrupted Moses, he interrupted Peter, and he interrupts all of us at times. We just need to say, "Here I am." And I want to challenge you today to say, "Here I am," every day this week, when you go home today, before you start the day, just saying, "Here I am." An author that I really enjoy, and a famous theologian, Henri Nouwen, said this about calling. "So many terrible things happen every day that we start wondering about whether the few things we do ourselves make any sense. When people are starving only a few thousand miles away, or with the crazy things happening in Texas, when countless people in our own cities have no homes to live in, our own activities look futile. Such considerations, however, can paralyze us and depress us. Here the word call becomes important. We are not called to save the world, solve all problems, and help all people. But we each have our own unique call. in our families, in our work, in our world. And we have to keep asking God to help us see clearly what our call is and to give us the strength to live out that call with trust and faith. Then we will discover that our faithfulness to a small task is the most healing response to the illness of our time. We will never know what God has planned for all of us unless we step forward and say, "Here I am," in faith and obedience. And when we do that, God will do amazing things. It's incredible to see that. And God promises us through this chapter in Exodus that he is with us, he's for us, and that his power will flow through us in this calling that we take. And as I close today, I want to share some words from Francis J. Crosby, who wrote many hymns, but also one of my favorites. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." And in the chorus, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." And just meditate on those words, and I pray that that can be our story, praising our Savior all the day long. All the day long. And what an amazing thing when the body of Christ comes together like this and praising and worshiping. And I challenge you this week to go forth and to praise your Savior all the day long, our Savior. And I understand that that's hard, but faith is hard. And if we take that step, God promises us a lot of things. This is our call to bring glory to the Father, as Moses did and as Jesus ultimately did. His main mission, to bring glory to the Father, to make the Father shine. Thank you for having me today and our family. And I'm just going to end off here in prayer, and then I believe we have another song as well. Lord God, I thank you for today again. Lord, I thank you for the call that you place on all of us. And we recognize that you have a call on all of our lives, specific calls and general calls. Lord, I pray that today that we can step forward in obedience. We can say, "Here I am," even though it is incredibly hard for us. Lord, I pray that we can do this, and I thank you for this time. And I pray that as we go forth today, after the service and into the week, Lord, may we bring glory to you in all that we do through our words and our actions. In Jesus' name, amen.